VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, the Trump-Biden debate number two took place last evening. A matter of fact, they went head-to-head, clashing last night, their second and final presidential debate before the November 3rd election coming up very soon. In the second debate, and I'm looking right now at dailysignal.com, second debate, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Joseph Biden differed on the issue of shutdowns during the pandemic, especially in terms of reopening schools safely as soon as possible. This was one of the early issues they took on. President Trump said that although Americans will continue to deal with COVID-19, the country can't stay closed, must continue the process of reopening. And he went on to say, we can't close up our nation or you're not going to have a nation. Biden said that he did not aim to keep the country shut down, saying, I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country. However, he expressed a greater willingness to keep lockdowns in place until certain needs are met. He said, I'm not shutting down today, but look, you need standards. If you have a virus reproduction rate above a certain level, everybody says, slow down. Do not open bars and gymnasiums until you get this under more control. Well, the reopening plan stipulates that emergency funding needs have not been met so that schools have the resources to reconfigure classrooms and kitchens and other spaces to improve ventilation and take on other necessary steps, he said, to make it easier to physical distance and minimize risk of spread. So, indeed, they talked about the COVID-19 vaccine and, by the way, that COVID, we were waiting for some new topics last evening. They were supposed to be dealing with foreign policy issues. Now, China did come up, though, last evening, and we'll have some touching on that as well. But also the whole issue of fracking, so-called man-made climate change, the oil industry as well. When it comes to climate change in the energy industry, well, they had some noticeable differences. President Trump saying, I will not sacrifice tens of millions of jobs, thousands and thousands of companies because of the Paris Accord. And then he also pointed out into his presidency, announced that he would withdraw from the climate agreement, which he has. He said, we have the cleanest air, the cleanest water, the best carbon emission standards that we've seen in many, many years, and we haven't destroyed our industries. He said the climate accord was too easy on nations such as China, Russia, and India that have filthy air, and said we are energy independent for the first time. Well, fracking was another topic of contention between the two candidates. And Joe Biden said last night he accused President Trump of lying, saying, I have never said I oppose fracking. I want you to hear a statement last night, and somebody has collated not only the issue of his statement last night, but then the previous statements in which he said he would ban fracking. So let's listen into this clip provided us.
So false. It's all a pipe dream. But you know what we'll do? We're going to have the greatest economy in the world. But if you want to kill the economy, get rid of your oil industry. You want and what about fracking?
All right. Let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape.
Here it
no
is.
More. No new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipe?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to block it.
No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. Ends. Number one.
Three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
No more. No new fracking.
Okay, so last night, former Vice President Biden challenged for the tape to come forth. Prove it. Because he said that he has never said that he would ban fracking. So we'll let you make that decision. Improving health care was another issue last night. President Trump said that the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010 during the Obama administration was no good. He said that's why the law, popularly known as Obamacare, is still being challenged in the court. He said his administration ended the individual mandate requiring Americans to buy health insurance and is overseeing what remains of Obamacare. Biden said that unlike all his competitors in the Democrats' primary race, a list that included both Sanders and his running mate Harris, he would not advocate a Medicare-for-all plan. Instead, he wants Bidencare, which includes a public option for health insurance. Under a public option, the government offers subsidized plans that are less expensive than those offered by insurance companies. And President Trump said when he says public option, he's talking about socialized medicine and health care. When he talks about a public option, he's talking about destroying your Medicare and destroying your Social Security. This whole country will come down. Former Vice President Biden contended that Trump would not make sure that Americans with pre-existing health conditions could get insurance coverage, but the president reiterated that he would. They also had this debate on who's tougher on Russia. They sparred over the relationship with Russia and their respective ability to deal with the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. Biden said that Trump's personal attorney, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, is being used as a Russian pawn. And that's primarily when they got to the issue of dealing with recent allegations that have come forth with his son Hunter. And then President Trump saying Joe got $3.5 million from Russia, and it came through Putin because he was very friendly with the former mayor of Moscow. Someday you're going to have to explain why you got $3.5 million. One of the most dramatic moments of the debate came when Biden stated flatly, "I have not taken a penny from any foreign source in my life." And that was very interesting as well because, as you are aware, story here from CNSNews.com, "I have not taken a penny from any foreign source in my life." Joe Biden said at Thursday's final debate dealing with the China-Ukraine issue, during a segment, President Trump raised recent reports about Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop, which contains emails indicating that the Biden family profited from overseas deals and never would have happened if Joe Biden hadn't been vice president. Before the debate began, Tony Bobulinski, that was one of Hunter Biden's former business partners, said he had firsthand knowledge that Joe Biden knew about and was involved in making money from a Chinese company with ties to the communist government. He said, "I have heard Joe Biden say he has never discussed his dealings with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden," Bobulinski told a news conference shortly before the debate began. Trump accused the Biden family of getting $3.5 million from the mayor's wife of the wife of a Moscow mayor. "And I think you owe an explanation to the American people," he said. Well, a former business partner of Hunter Biden made this statement to the New York Post he said he was one of the recipients of the May 13, 2017 email detailing an equity distribution, including the line 10 held by H, 10 held by H and for the big guy. H is for Hunter. The big guy is Joe Biden, Bobulinski said. Well, matters are happening very quickly because there is testimony that occurred in the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning, and the FBI today has requested now an interview with Hunter Biden's former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, that coming out from the Senate Judiciary Committee. And now we have Chuck Schumer stepping in as well, actively working to suppress an investigation into the laptop allegedly belonging to Hunter Biden, saying, "We write regular press reports concerning materials allegedly described activities by Hunter Biden, found a laptop at a Delaware repair shop." The New York Democrat and fellow Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon wrote to Christopher Wray, he's the FBI director, saying, "We are deeply concerned about the possibility that in response to these reports, the Trump administration will take actions before Election Day that would seek to damage the Democratic presidential candidate and undermine the rule of law." That's a very interesting statement being made there. But another issue that came up, of course, was the whole matter of immigration law. They had some disagreements there as well. Let's get this clip in.
well as family detentions at the border before changing course. So why should voters trust you with an immigration overhaul now?
Because we made a mistake. It took too long to get it right. I'll be president of the United States, not vice president of the United States. And the fact is, I've made it very clear. Within 100 days, I'm going to send to the United States Congress a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people. And all of those so-called dreamers, those DACA kids, they're going to be immediately certified again to be able to stay in this country and put on a path to citizenship. The idea that they are being sent home by this guy and they want to do that is they go into a country they've never seen before. I can imagine you're 5 years old, your parents are taking you across the Rio Grande River and it's illegal. And you say, oh, no, Mom, leave me here. I'm not going to go with you. They've been here. Many of them are model citizens. Over 20,000 of them are first responders out there taking care of people during this crisis. We owe them. We owe them.
President, he had 8 years to do what he said he was going to do. And I've changed without having a specific. We got rid of catch and release. We got rid of a lot of horrible things that they put in and that they lived with. But he had 8 years he was vice president. He did nothing except build cages to keep children in.
Vice President Biden, your response.
The catch and release. You know what he's talking about there? If, in fact, you had a family came across and they were arrested, they, in fact, were given a date to show up for their hearing. They were released. And guess what? They showed up for a hearing. And this is the first president in the history of the United States of America that anybody seeking asylum has to do it in another country. That's never happened before in America. That's never happened before in America. You come to the United States and you make your case that I seek asylum based on the following premise, why I deserve it under American law. They're sitting in squalor on the other side of the river.
President Trump, your response, so 30 important. Seconds, and then we'll move
it
on.
It just shows that he has no understanding of immigration or the laws. Catch and release is a disaster. A murderer would come in, a rapist would come in, a very bad person would come in. We would take their name. We have to release them into our country. And then you say they come back. Less than 1% of the people come back. We have to send ICE out and Border Patrol out to find them. We would say, come back in 2 years, 3 years. We're going to give you a court case. You need Perry Mason. We're going to give you a court case. When you say they come back, they don't come back, Joe. Yeah. They never come back. Only the really, I hate to say this, but those with the lowest IQ, they might come back.
Okay, President Trump, let's give Vice President Biden a chance to respond, and then we're going to move on to the next section.
You don't know the law, Joe.
Vice President Biden, your response.
Know the law. What he's telling you is simply not true.
Well, check it out. They don't come back.
Check it out.
All right, let's move on.
But we don't have to worry about it because they terminated it, so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so that exchange taking place last night in immigration. A year ago, we had PJ Media reporting that nearly 90% of illegals failed to show up for their court hearings, and that's been well documented here as well. We're going to take a quick break, and friends, we're going to open our phone lines early here, give you opportunity to respond to the debate last night. You keep your responses brief to a minute or less, but what is your response to the debate that took place last evening between President Trump and former President Biden? Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien,
thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network with a reaction here to the second and final debate between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. They got into Black Lives Matter and racism. President Trump defended his reputation, saying, "I am the least racist person in this room." Asked about some of his past comments, including on Black Lives Matter, President Trump said, quote, "The first time I ever heard of Black Lives Matter, they were chanting pigs in a blanket," talking about police, "pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon. I said, that's a horrible thing," end of quote. And again, he was asked about his rhetoric on race. President Trump said, "I got criminal justice reform done and prison reform and opportunity zones. I took care of black colleges and universities. I don't know what to say. They can say anything. It makes me sad." Mr. Biden said he pours fuel on every single racist fire. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn. They got into minimum wage issues as well. And today, we just want to give you opportunity to comment on the debate last evening. One commentator on MSNBC talked about the president appeals to the lizard brains of white guys. Also sneered that Trump was auditioning for a show on Fox. Let's hear what you have to say in regard to the debate last evening. Let's begin with Dave in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for the open forum today. Compared to the first debate, I thought it was much more civil. And whether Christian or not, this morning I was driving and that verse in James 1:19 came to heart. Beloved, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I'd like to encourage everyone listening as we interact with unbelievers, make believers, or believers that we would do that because emotions are high and tense and there's a lot of mis and disinformation. And then finally, Jim, I was going to quote that. I'm glad you did when I heard that thought about Black Lives Matter. We know that all lives matter. And I know you share in the book of Acts about we're all of one blood. So that needs to be proclaimed. But this sort of rhetoric is very inflammatory towards our beloved police, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. That really shows, I think, more of the real motive of this extreme Marxist group, and I thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Let's go next to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. I think Biden did the best he could considering his, the mainstream media protecting him at all costs and all the coaching he received prior to the Trump debate. But I thought the kicker was when he mentioned that climate change was a moral issue and abortion, anarchy, setting fires on state apparently take a back seat to that. I can't help but think that, you know, anybody that's going to vote for this guy has got to realize that they are setting themselves up to what I would consider a new world morality, and you're just going to get totally sucked into the new global order.
Mark, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Menominee Falls, Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I just want to say the thing that Obama said, or not Obama, Biden had said in regards to retrofitting buildings and stuff to be more energy efficient came at a cost and it was going to create so many jobs and this kind of thing. I was just wondering, where is that money coming from? Isn't that money coming from the taxpayer if the government is doing it? So basically, it's dollar in from the taxpayer to dollar out to get the building done. I'm all for having the, you know, buildings redone, but, you know, where's this money coming from? Like, he didn't try to explain that at all. He just, it's like he's got a blank check.
Thank you, Steve. And interesting comment that you made there. Indeed, the cost of some of these, the Green New Deal, which he denies that he's in favor of, but on the website had indicated that Green New Deal is the framework for his Biden energy plan. Our number to Crosstalk, have some open lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your take on the debate last evening, the second and final debate here prior to the election. Lewis in Waukesha, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm just calling about I got a question. So what is a vice president just the was? So what a vice president do? Because like I said, because when I was watching the debate last night, and so when Trump said, yeah, you've been vice president for 8 years. Why didn't you do it? And so he was like, okay, I didn't do it because I wasn't the president.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like a vice president can tell, his president just to do something or something? I don't understand.
Well, the vice president is one who is, first of all, second in line to the president himself, that should the president not be able to fulfill that office for any number of reasons, that they would step into that position. But they are often assigned various tasks by the president as well to take oversights. For instance, President Trump assigned Vice President Mike Pence dealing with the nationwide response to the coronavirus, and so engaged him fully in that regard. Sometimes a president will dispatch a vice president to deal with foreign policy issues or to get engaged in certain other aspects. So they are certainly also a direct advisor to the president and guided policy in a number of ways, and also that the vice presidency is one who is a tie-breaking vote in the U.S. Senate as well.
That's right. And my other thing is, what about the something?
Okay, thank you for the call here. Let's go to Diana in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air, Diana.
Hi. I wanted first to say I think the president did a very good job last night. Also, I wanted to say, I wonder if they even bothered to check Joe Biden to see if he's not wired to be somebody giving him what to say, because sometimes it looks like he was like trying to listen to what people might want him to say. Because I don't know, sometimes it's like, I don't think it's all him. I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay. Thank you, Diana, for sharing your thoughts. Karen in Central Point, Oregon, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I thought President Trump did pretty good. I was very proud of him for, keeping the interruptions down. So that was awesome. But the whole thing about the environment being this existential threat, and then you want to retrofit all these buildings. So to me, it's humorous. Like, it's okay to discard and throw away, huge hunks of buildings, but you can't have a straw in California. It's just, It doesn't make sense to me. That's all.
Thank you, Karen. Jan in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, a couple of comments. Comparing the two presidential debates, so many Christians got turned off by Trump interrupting on the first one. Well, there was a reason for that. The moderator in the first debate did not give any time for rebuttal, which has always been done. I'm 83, and every time I've ever heard a presidential debate, it's always given rebuttal time. But on that first debate, they gave none. So in order to answer to some of these lies that Biden was giving, several of them, he had to interrupt in order to clear the air in front of the whole world on television. I also question this business of Biden wanting to put a lot of electrical battery refill places along the highways. So what happens when Iran knocks out our electrical power grid? Our cars would be immobilized if they were electrical. We need to do more with the fossil fuel because they cannot stop that.
Thank you, Jan, for your call here today. Tom in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Looking forward to seeing you and the rest of the VCY family at the Saturday event. Yeah. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I thought that it was very clear to see who the politician was last night, looking at the camera, playing on the emotions. And then I would also encourage your listeners to, as Alex Newman on the previous program mentioned, the dark winter comment. Mm-hmm. They always have a purposeful slip of the tongue. And if you look into dark winter, that should scare the heck out of all of us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your program. God bless you. Make it a great day.
Thank you, Tom, for your call. And, dark winter comment came out from Joe Biden last evening. Very interesting with that dealing here with coronavirus and so forth. And the thing that he mentioned here as well is the special event. We've had Gary Kah on the road all this week for VCY rallies. Randy Melchert and Lydia accompanying him and his wife there on a speaking tour, A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America. Just a reminder to those of you in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that tonight the event is taking place in Crystal Falls. And you're invited to be there, Crystal Falls, Michigan, at Lakeview Bible Church. And then it comes to Brookfield, Wisconsin tomorrow in the facilities of Brookside Baptist Church. You'll find it at vcyrally.org, vcyrally.org. Let's go to Marjorie in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You're on the air, Marjorie.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I watched the debate last night, and I would never vote for a president that wants to kill a baby. It's murder, and I do not believe in abortion, and I like President Trump. He's did a tremendous job when he's been in the White House, and he's for the United States, for this country. I think the debate was very nice last night, and I certainly would not vote for a Biden. I used to be a Democrat, but now I'm a Republican, and I did vote for Trump when he first came out. And I am against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That is unconscionable, and I believe that it should be stopped, and I know that President Trump would do it.
Marjorie, thank you for your call. We got Gene also calling from Michigan. Hi,
yeah,
Gene.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And I just want to say about Biden. He's my age. I'm 77. He's 77. And he would have been 42 back in 1985. He was trained by the Soviet Union. Under Armin Hammer, he's a, you know, really, he's a Catholic communist, I think. But I just want to share that, and God bless, and have a good day.
Thank you, Gene. Betty in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello,
Ooh.
Betty. Yes, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about all this Black Lives Matter stuff. Everybody seems to think that it's all about skin color. I look at it as Black Lives Matter. Black being Satan, lives as the followers of Satan, and to me, they don't matter.
Well, the lies don't matter, of course, Betty, but indeed, the skin color certainly is not an issue of Black Lives Matter because they are coming from a very Marxist position. One of their co-founders saying that we are trained Marxists. Certainly, we believe people of all skin colors do matter, and God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross, paying the penalty for the sins of all of mankind. But as in the book of Acts, we find that we are all of one blood, and so that's something that's critically important for us. But the movement, as you refer to, Black Lives Matter, is one that is built upon destruction. We've seen the mayhem that has come forth in communities across this nation, and certainly we need to separate the issues of skin color aside from the agenda that is part of the Black Lives Matter. Appreciate your call. We're just seconds away from the break here, and so we're going to take the break and come back to more of your phone calls. Write down the phone number, because we have phone lines that are opening up rather frequently. The number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk with coverage of the debate from last evening, the second and final debate between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joseph Biden. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Tuesday, April 3rd, our national election, and tonight, or rather this afternoon, giving you opportunity to weigh in with your feedback on the debate from last evening. Some of you already have voted, but let's hear your reaction to the debate from last night. Star has been holding the longest in Marshfield. You're on the air, Star.
Yes, you always hear of Donald Trump talking about the 110-page manifesto of Biden-Sanders. Well, I have it. Biden-Sanders Unity Task Force Recommendations is its title. Combating the climate crisis and pursuing environmental justice. And on the bottom of page 5, it starts, finally, Democrats recognize that the United States does not stand alone in the fight against climate change and global environmental degradation. Beyond immediately rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, including the Green Climate Fund, and encouraging our partners and allies to increase their ambition to reduce their own carbon pollution, Democrats will work to ratify the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol and move exponentially to phase out super polluting hydrofluorocarbons in the United States.
Yep.
And then it goes on, but I'm going to say here, it was former Secretary of State John Kerry is the co-chair.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the co-chair,
mm-hmm.
and it goes on and lists everybody who had that input into that section of the manifesto.
Yeah, yeah. It seems sometimes in national debates, he says, I'm the one who won. I won against all those people. I'm not a socialist, and yet we see that framework that the Biden and Sanders created. And then today on Newsmax, the headline, Bernie Sanders pushing to become Biden's labor secretary. So very interesting indeed. Thank you, Star, for raising the issue. Let's go to Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Brother Jim. I appreciate that. Listen, I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't really touch on foreign policy very much.
Right.
Little bit, not enough. One thing that should have been brought to light was that when our country went after Osama bin Laden, Biden told Obama not to go through with the mission. And that's significant, and people need to know that he just does not have it for us. He's not for us. He's not for to keep us safe. And the president's been doing the best he can in all these circumstances. And I think he did a pretty good job last night keeping his cool. That's what we needed to see. It's what we needed him to be presidential, Jim, and that's what he was. But let's continue to pray for our government. That's what the scripture tells us to do. And prayer's important. It's powerful. We need it.
Amen. Thank you, Al. We've got Gary in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air, Gary.
Yeah, hey, thank God Almighty that VCY is on the air. I watched about 45 minutes of it because I'm pretty much familiar with what they're going to say. But the DACA bill, the president missed a golden opportunity to let them know that he introduced the DACA bill for more asylum in this nation than the Democrats originally wanted, and the Democrats voted it down. Besides that, the first nation that a refugee enters that has refugee status, that's where you stay until something else occurs. They don't come rushing towards our border. No one has the right to enter our nation illegally. The other was the insurance. He said he wasn't going to abolish your insurance when Kamala Harris said she definitely was. So he lied about that. I couldn't keep up with all the lies. He was more loquacious, but just as incoherent in his thinking as he always was.
Well,
he was a degenerate.
He also said last night that no one lost their health insurance under Obamacare. And we know that many lost their health insurance under Obamacare. Plans that were once offered were no longer valid under Obamacare. People who had certain policies, they no longer qualified. And so either had to go on to the exchange or go to more expensive plans. So,
well, that's right. You didn't even have a choice, really. It's either one or the other.
Thanks for the call, Gary.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, let's go to another fellow Arizonan. This is Apache Junction, Arizona. Joe, you're on the air.
Yeah, I watched the debate last night, and I thought it was a tie. But here's the thing. All your callers, they're all, like, against Biden. And my point is that I was in the Marine Corps, so I'm a vet. And, you know, you can't – he I almost lost my track of thought here. He, you know, who's the bigger liar? I mean, they both tell lies and stories, but the reason I called is because of that kids, the Mexican kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that nothing happened to them. They're okay. But, I mean, you don't do that to children, man, period.
And
left or right.
Yeah, and so you remember President Trump saying, who built the cages?
What? I know, they say that. Why does that matter, who built the cages?
Well, because the President Trump has been accused of using the cages, but these were built by the Biden or the Obama administration. And
those are more lies, but the fact is...
Oh, no, that isn't. That is the truth. It is coming under Obama's watch that he built the cage.
It's happened under his watch. All these people, like, okay, me being a Marine, you got duty you got to do. You got to do guard duty, and if something happened while you're on guard duty...
Mm-hmm.
It's your responsibility, okay?
Yeah.
The president is, this is his watch. So all this stuff that's happening, all this terrible stuff, it's all on his call. And history will probably show that.
So you're
and I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I have a hard time doing the, I'm holding my nose on the part of the abortion. I hate that part. But, I mean, I can't stand Trump. He just drives me nuts, man. It makes me want to just... light on nails.
Hmm. Well, thank you, Joe, for your perspective. Indeed, yeah, abortion is critical when we see that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. It's a very, very critical issue. If we take human life in the womb, woe be to us. Thank you for the call. Jim is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a couple points I wanted to make. I watched the debate, and, you know, they're talking about environmentalism last night, and I don't know if people know that Gorbachev came over from Russia and started an environmentalist group in California called Green Cross. So I think the communists didn't want to use environmentalism undercut our business over
here. As a matter of fact, the book in the interviews that we've done with Bill Fitter on his book Socialism points that very aspect out. It is part of socialism.
And I was hoping that President would bring up Solyndra under Obama. He funded this solar energy company out in California that went belly up. And then about the rolling blackouts they've had out in California because they've been relying on renewable energy so much. And then also the Biden yard sign has really intrigued me with those three red lines on his E. And I seen a post, my brother-in-law sent me a post about they come from China. It was a socialist three red flags. People want to do some research on that so they know what that means on the Biden yard signs.
Thank you, Jim, for your feedback.
Yep.
Daryl in Northport, Florida, you're on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Yes, I was just calling in to say we need to pray a little more. I listen to your radio station, 91.3 out of Englewood, Florida. I listen to this station for the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listening to this debate, we as Christians should be praying for all of our leaders and not getting so deeply involved in the anger, the bitterness. There's too much of that in this world and too much in this country. But as Christians, God asks us to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should be doing. What everybody think or feel, it ain't going to matter in the end. Your salvation is the only thing that matters. Don't get wrapped up into just this worldly thing.
Yep.
We need to pray and come together as Christians. And for us, you have to do a little more research on how people truly feel and the things that is happening in this country.
Daryl, do you...
come together.
Yeah, we do need to come together. We do need to pray. But we also have to recognize when there are threats to religious freedom and religious liberty, should that not be a concern?
Yes, but what threats are you talking about?
Oh, my. Have you not read the Equality Act?
Listen, President Trump is president right now.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing going to happen unless he wanted to happen.
Well,
that's the bottom line. Ain't nobody, well, Biden well, the, is not president.
President.
AOA, none of them are not president.
Okay, well, Darrell, the Equality Act is something that Mr. Biden wants to have passed. Mr. Trump has been in opposition to. He has not advanced the Equality Act.
Well, I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Anybody 30 years old, no President Trump. Ain't nothing going to change. The truth is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe what you want to believe. You can follow the worldly way, or you can follow Christ. That's your choice, but in the end, you're responsible for your own salvation. None of this is going to matter.
Well, actually, no. Actually, salvation is of the Lord, and certainly it comes with one humbling themselves before a righteous God, recognizing that we're a sinner, Darrell, and confessing our sin before Him. But salvation is totally of God, and does that work in our heart?
Yes, it does. And on top of it, everybody God said all sins are the same, whether it's abortion, murder, all of that. I don't agree with none of it. I don't believe in none of it, but it's all the same.
No, that's not. All sin is not the same, Darrell, because as you read the scriptures, and we're going to let you go because I know you're going to run here, but you'll find places where Jesus will talk about somebody who said he hath the greater sin, and there is going to be a greater judgment of those who are very deliberate and in their sin, and one who are forcing their sin upon other people too. So check that out further out there, but not all sin is the same. But all sin does separate us from God. We'll grant you that. Thank you for the call. Brad in West Dallas here on the air.
Brother Jim, I saw the same thing last night as the other one. Biden gets caught lying, as always, as you illustrated on the radio today. The only truth that I heard out of him was when he was honest about saying he wanted to take down our oil industry.
Hmm.
Those Democrats, anything worthwhile, they want to shut it down. And like all Marxists, they want other people's money, they want other people's stuff, and they want to take it away from them by any means necessary. And whenever they hear something they don't like, in other words, the truth, all of the that's not truths just flow out of their mouth. You notice how many times Biden says that's not true in a debate?
Yep, yep.
And we all know it's true, that, like the case with his son. It's an ongoing news item, and he's going in front of everybody telling us that's not true.
Yeah.
Guy's a crazy nut. But that one caller saying about how we should pray, and he's exactly right about that. But as far as us coming together, forget it. You cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Michelle in Ohio, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Brother Jim. I had a different comment until I sat here and listened to a couple of the other comments. And it sort of grieved my spirit to hear Christians, talk about politics the way that they do and are so uneducated about how our system is set up with over 15,000 lines of scriptures that back them up from our founders. But Joe, you know, prime example of the battle we're facing is Joe made his comment. You corrected him and showed him the proof and told him the truth, and which is verifiable, but yet he's still left with Trump derangement syndrome. And that's sad, that, you know, even though he presented the truth, he wanted to deny the truth and I just don't like him. And that's not going to cut it for this election, because the Lord will judge us. Our vote's going to count twice as Christians, here on earth and also in heaven. And because we are a Christian nation, and our laws was founded on these things, evidentiary proof is out, you know, out the wazoo. I'm just saying, get educated, pray about it, and if you don't understand the scriptures when it comes to this, get somebody that does.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm up against a break. We got in your comments here, though. Thank you for calling in today from Ohio. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We hear a lot of talk today by the media and other folks shaming Christians that actually understand what's going on. One of the things we hear a lot is, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, one of the things we talk about when we are accused of such is that there are a group of people that are plotting to control how we think, what we see, how we vote, and the destruction of national sovereignty. We sometimes refer to them as
a shadow government or the deep state. The more accurate term might be the power elite. In fact, there was a book written many years ago by a political sociologist by the name of C. Wright Williams. It was called The Power Elite. Well, before you think this is all conspiracy theory, in December of 2018, the Washington Post had an entire article entitled Why the Power Elite Continues to Dominate American Politics. They affirmed the deep state, i.e., the power elite.
Debate reaction. Our phone lines are open here at Crosstalk. Filled up right now, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to call and participate at 800-733-9829. Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Linda, thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. You know, I just want to say, you know, to the viewers that I think we can all look at, you know, Biden, Trump, and as humans, we can, you know, evaluate. But to me, I guess the bottom line has been is that God is in control, and our nation has done a lot wrong. And my prayer has been every day that he would grant mercy to us and run the blood of Christ across this nation and turn the House, the Senate, red, and allow Trump to continue on to take away some of the evils versus, you know, good in our land, and that he would allow that. And I think that truly at this point in history, that's where it's at. It's not about Trump. It's not about Biden. It's simply about, will God hear his people and allow this at this time? And I wish everybody would pray for that rather than evaluating who's right, who's wrong, who's whatever. We know that Trump is for good versus evil, and yes, he's a sinner, and yes, he has his ways, and he's quite the character. That is not the point. God put him there to lead the way, and quite honestly, I pray that everyone prays that God would allow mercy on this nation.
Thank you,
Linda. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Shirley is next, Norway, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Previous callers have all pointed out some very good things. I think the debate went very well last night, and several lies were pointed out by Biden. But in all honesty, I think a true picture would have been a debate between President Trump and Kamala Harris, because we know the Democratic Party really wants her to become president.
And I think she was the first one to drop out amongst the people running for the Democratic nomination, if I recall.
Yeah, she dropped out really early.
And there were a number of policies there that people really took issue with that did not propel her to go further up in the race there. But thank you, Shirley, for sharing that.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a
now.
Good weekend.
Thank you.
God bless.
Craig in Waupun, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say that praying that one that's still in there now will be in there, and I'm just saying that God sees the heart of everyone, and I just want to say that everything that was said on Mr. Biden, a lot of us do not agree, and even like 4 or 5 months ago, it was said that he even let out dangerous prisoners because of the virus, and they started doing their crimes that they were arrested for. And why would someone like that do that?
Yeah, well, Mr. Biden would not have been able to do that then because he was not in any kind of office at that point, but though a number of governors, that was a point taken by many governors across the nation.
Yeah, and again, that God's will be done. He sees the heart of men. Plus, God will make the plans of the people to no effect. And I'm also praying, I just heard a couple hours ago on another talk show that people are starting to get their gas masks and weapons.
I just tell you what, Craig, I want to stay with the debate last night. We're down to just a few minutes. Thanks for the call. Ryan in Dodgeville, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I think President Trump did a really good job in the debate. He was more calm and relaxed. And
a reborn Christian. I was born and raised Catholic, and it's written, even the very elect shall be deceived. I have an aunt that's a Franciscan nun out of La Crosse, and her and all the nuns were voting for Biden. I just could not believe what she was telling me. But it's written, even the very elect shall be deceived.
Right.
And they've been deceived by the mass media, and everything's out there. So we have to pray for all these people that have been deceived, that they may come to know the truth.
Thank you, Ryan, for your call. Linda in Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just want to thank you for taking my call. The debate, as far as what was going on last night, I felt there was more of the same. We spent too much time on COVID, although I know it's important. But we need to have more on foreign policy.
Yes.
Trump did take an advantage to expose the ongoing lies and the things that are coming up prior to the election, which is a benefit to his administration and to this election. I live in a battleground state. I live in Pennsylvania. And I can tell you that 4 years ago, I did not see the support for Trump that was visible. But this time, there is so much visible Trump support. And I just feel he's going to win by a landslide. I know it's in the Lord's hands. I would say to all voters, get educated. Don't just blindly vote because of your allegiance or because of what you think you know. It pays off to dig into the truth. Because the Lord says that if you ask for the truth, he will give you the truth.
Thank you, Linda.
And once you know that truth, you have to go to that voting booth with a clear conscience, because you will stand before the Lord. He says, I gave you the truth, and what did you do with that truth?
Thank you, Linda. I've got to run. I'm almost out of time. Got your point. Thank you very much. And Robert in Arizona, our final call today. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Robert.
Yes. I didn't watch this past debate, but I had to watch the earlier debate, and it's very apparent just by watching and by seeing them, and the Word of God affirms it over and over again, like in Proverbs 14:34, that righteousness and righteousness alone exalts a nation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who calls himself a Christian or a believer who votes for unrighteousness is a liar, and is also puts him in a place as an enemy against God.
Thank you, Robert. I'm out of time here. Thank you for sharing that. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Yes, this debate was to be on foreign issues, and so when they announced that all of a sudden it's going to be about COVID and global warming and all these issues, the Trump campaign said, you know, we object to that. It's supposed to be about foreign-related issues, and the debate commission moved forward with their topics last evening, and so it was what it was, but certainly, as callers have pointed out, the need of praying for this vote, being informed, and casting a prayerful vote, so very critical. I tell you, those who espouse non-Christian values are fully engaged in voting. Those who are espousing LGBT activism, and those who are espousing the killing of life in the womb, they're very engaged in getting out the vote. Will believers in Christ vote? Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.